Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is entitled Biden's MAGA Speech versus Lincoln's First Inaugural. You have some of these clowns out there. This is a wartime speech. This is a necessary wartime speech. Lincoln's speech was like right before an actual war, an actual crisis of the Union. A bunch of states had gotten together and their governments voted to get out of the Union, knowing it would probably actually cause a civil war. What has Trump done? Exactly. Crickets. Nothing. They have nothing. What'd Sam Harris say? Oh, Trump University. That's what you got? Process crimes? That happened while you were trying to entrap him and his people? That call to Zelensky? You have a phone call? You have a phone call that claims that he was trying to maybe influence his political opponents when at the same time he has the right and the duty to investigate corrupt politicians. The main thing is, I don't care what he did if you don't investigate both sides. Because I bet they're all corrupt a little bit. So everything's even then. The problem now is you have one group of corrupt people who are in power investigating their political opponents, who could also be corrupt. I don't know. I'm sure he's not perfect. I don't know. If Trump had already served two terms and couldn't run again, is there a chance, is there even the slightest chance that they would have raided Mar-a-Lago? Absolutely not. There is no way they would have raided Mar-a-Lago. This is 100% political. It's totally ridiculous. So as I didn't even watch his whole stupid MAGA speech. I read it. Yeah, I read 80% of it. A lot of it was repetitive and just stupid. And you could tell one of his stupid brainwashed college student speech writers wrote it. That they're just morons. It's unbelievable. So I thought, well, what's another speech given by a president during a real crisis? And let's compare. Real rebels, whether, you know, I get it, whether you want to see them as legitimate secessionists or rebels trying to destroy the country, they were going to fight the U.S. government. And he knew it. So he was trying to figure out how to not have that happen. They were all on board for a rebellion. I don't know if they were on board for the extent of the rebellion that they had to wage. If you could have told them, hey, this is going to go on for 4 years and you're going to sacrifice pretty much all of your young men, I wonder if they would have done it. It's one of the things is people always get into wars thinking they're going to be easier than they are. One of the only exceptions is the Gulf War. It was over in a heartbeat almost. Because the generals who ran it made sure that the politicians understood, hey, let's not do another Vietnam, people. We're in, we're out, we have obtainable objectives, we use overwhelming force, and we're done. Instead of a quagmire. So I think the main thing to remember about Biden's speech is that it's just a political speech. He's not trying to save the Union. He's not trying to protect anyone from anything, except himself and his corrupt buddies from being found out and losing their power and maybe going to prison. That's all. He's just trying to win an election. It's totally ridiculous. The idea that he's trying to save the Union from rebels, it's just laughable and stupid. I wonder if there's anyone in the White House who really believes that. Maybe some just brainwashed, like, I keep just saying brainwashed, but like rigid, unthinking ideologues, which is, sounds like most graduates of Ivy League colleges at this point. They've never heard a real debate. They think everybody who doesn't think exactly like them is a caveman. So he doesn't mention his, the first time he mentions his political opponents, he attacks them. He doesn't come at them with any, like, hey, let's be friends type thing. Hey, let's piece together our disagreements. No, he just says they're rebels, they're enemies of the state, and they want to destroy everyone's liberty. And he provides no evidence. He's a dummy. He couldn't provide evidence if he tried, and he didn't write the speech anyway. But the you ask them to provide evidence, and they can't. January 6th. That's all they have. He just throws claims out there. It's just stupid. It's a stupid speech. It's, you know, there's, as you're reading it, you're like, yeah, this is kind of nice, you know? Patriotism, yeah. And then you think, wait a second, though. He's not talking about patriotism. He's talking about destroying, politically or in other ways, half the country. Half the country that doesn't want him to get reelected. They're enemies of the state. This is crazy. That's crazy. Because they don't want him to get reelected. Because they want Trump back. They're enemies of the state. This is not America. This is not. So he separates out MAGA traitors from regular Republicans. And how does he differentiate those? Because all MAGA are Republicans. MAGA realized early on, hey, we're not going to form some stupid third party, be like the stupid libertarians. They don't win anything. So just so they can say, I didn't vote for either of them. Like I was watching Joe Rogan. He had that, you know, Karenson, I can't remember, Berenson, whatever his name. He's a good guy, but they're like, you know, I didn't vote for either of them either time. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for moving the ball forward. Yeah, politics is real life, not just sitting around and smoking weed and talking with your buddies. It's win or lose. And you didn't help us win. Well, win horrible things. No, no. We wouldn't be down the road we are now if we hadn't elected Biden. And all the stupid people who sat out the election, which is all you're doing when you're voting third party, get out of here. You could have either voted for somebody who agrees with you on most things or voted or let someone win who agrees with you on no things. That's your choice. Grow up. Enough with the childish third party nonsense. Grow up. This is the United States. We have a two-party system because you have to win a majority of electoral votes to control the most important branch of the government. Grow up. You don't get to sit on the sidelines and say, well, you know, I didn't vote for anybody, but I'm more righteous than everybody else because I really think about things. Oh, yeah, I really think about things too. And I know that I want some things that I want. All of you, I'm going too long on this part, but all of you who vote third party so you can look down your noses at us, or you, I don't even know how you can sleep better at night because you didn't help anything. It'd be like in the Revolutionary War. Well, you know, I went to Nova Scotia and sat out the war. Pfft. I didn't take a side. Oh, you suck. You suck. Yeah, maybe you're scared of the revolution. Maybe it could go off the rails. But you didn't pick a side. You're useless. You're just along for the ride. All those people out there taking the slings and arrows like Steve Bannon and Trump, you just, oh, well, let them do it. Those people have to grow up. You don't understand politics if you vote third party. I know the argument, oh, they bring ideas into the, look, the Tea Party, they don't bring ideas into the mainstream parties anymore. Like the People's Party did back in the whatever 1870s. They just got co-opted by the Democrats anyway, and then they got a lot of what they wanted. The Tea Party realized, hey, we got to take over the Republican Party. MAGA has actually taken over the Republican Party, and the stupid country club types are on their way out. Or at least they'll be a wing of the party, but they're not going to dominate it anymore. Like they did for 30 years, 40, 50 years. So my point with all of this is he differentiates good Republicans with traitor Republicans. And how does he differentiate that? What's the dividing line? The ones that will work with him. That's who good Republicans are. I can work with them. You mean that they'll do whatever you want? They'll vote for your stupid bills? They'll look down their nose at MAGA Republicans? All the MAGA Republicans who are in the military? Or drive a tractor, or drive a school bus, or drive a trash truck, or lay bricks. All those evil traitors, instead of the head of, I don't know the head of Disney, what he is. So the ones who will work with Biden are weak, or basically Democrats that don't like abortion and want low taxes and try to fool us into acting like capital gains is an unfair tax on rich people, which is ridiculous. That's who he wants to work with. And even, a lot of them also are just Democrats or Democrats who want low taxes but are cool with abortion. That's the other kind of Susan Collins from, was it Maine, wherever she's from. Great. Sometimes she's great. But then when they overturned abortion, she's like, they lied to me. Well, your party's pro-life, dude. Where were you? People who walk the fence. Look, I'm not one of those who says burn all the rhinos, get them out of the party. We need them. Would you rather have a 52-48 rhino-controlled Congress right now or the madhouse that we have right now? In the Senate. Would you rather have a rhino like McCarthy controlling the House or a nut job like Pelosi controlling the House? And at some point, probably, what's her name? Can't believe I forgot her name. AOC. She'll probably be Speaker at some point. She's a legitimate nut job. Marxist, brainwashed, Bolshevik idiot. So that's how he differentiates between MAGA and good Republicans are the ones who will bend over and do whatever he wants. Shouldn't have said bend over, but you know what? We'll have no spine. Remember when the Tea Party took over the House and the Senate, and they wouldn't vote for any of Obama's stuff, and he said they're intransigent, like they're supposed to be obedient little children to you. It's a separate branch of government, you jerk. They're not intransigent. You have to work with them. We didn't elect you to be the dictator. That's the problem with these Marxists, is they think we're righteous and everyone else is evil. That's Marxism, right? We're in a revolution and everything that we represent is what the people want. And if you're in our way, you want to hold on to your privilege and you're in, the translation, you're intransigent. You're just rich, evil people trying to preserve this evil system that we're trying to fix or overthrow. It's not just your fellow citizens who don't agree with you. That's not what it is. Man, these people suck. He says that since the Republican Party is dominated by MAGA, it's a danger to the Republic. So a political party is a danger to the Republic, says the sitting president of the United States. He's going to ban the party? That's not what we do in the United States. We have a communist party in the United States. I think we still do. We never banned them. I know we had the House on Un-American Activities, all that stuff. Okay. They were, marginalized and maybe kind of unfairly investigated by the FBI, that kind of thing. But the sitting president wasn't openly calling for that party to what else can it be? What's supposed to happen to enemies of the state? They're supposed to be destroyed or imprisoned. It's unbelievable. So I guess committing fraud in an election is not a threat to the Republic. I guess having the FBI weaponized and only investigating Republicans, and the last Republican president harassing him for 3 whole years, nonstop, is not a threat to the Republic. I guess Hillary getting away with erasing all of her emails and no one doing anything about it is not a threat to the Republic. Making up a fake story, which she did, about Trump. The whole Russia Steele dossier, whatever. I don't know all the details. I know enough details that, and everyone else who knows the details knows that they set him up, that it was all a lie, and they ran with it for 3 years. That's not a threat to the Republic. Why isn't Hillary a threat to the Republic? Oh, because she's in their party. She's in the party now. I guess Biden taking bribes from the CCP, that somehow helps the Republic. That's not a threat. He's not compromised at all. Can you believe he used those Marines as props? What is that? Who's running the show over at the White House? These people are crazy. Remember when Obama, there was a little rain, and he grabbed a Marine. He's like, hey, come over here. Hold this umbrella over me. What? They're bodyguards. They're not butlers. They're not going to hold you. What kind of a wimp are you? Stand in the rain or hold your own dang umbrella. That guy thought he was royalty. Gosh, such a joke. It's so disgusting. Yeah, that's why that guy joined the Marines, so he could hold an umbrella over the wimpy, pathetic, effeminate president of the United States. Such a joke, man. He should have just, you know, grabbed one of those long French cigarettes and had a bottle of wine while he was at it. It's so ridiculous. And what about all the rioters in 2020? Remember them? And the Democrats encouraging them? Oh, there's going to be more of this, the vice president said. None bailing them out literally from jail. And when did they stop? Only when it showed up in the polls. That's when they said, oh, we better tell people to quit rioting. Think how insane that is. But that's not a threat to the Republic. Stoking riots to win an election. Gosh, this is like what Bolsheviks do. They're revolutionaries. I don't know how people can't see this. You know, the only other explanation is they're Bolsheviks or I've been totally brainwashed. I'm not saying that's out of the realm of possibility. I could be wrong. But what on earth could they show me that would prove me wrong? They don't know what I know because they don't look at my news sources. I look at theirs, not as much anymore. But we're confronted with their sources. We're constantly responding to their sources of information. There's too many instances of them lying, of them saying something is not true and then later admitting that it's true, of them gaslighting us, right? Lying to our faces. No, that's not how it is. When they know that's how it is. How many times are we going to get lied to? How many times can normal people be fooled by these people? I guess it's just because they only watch CNN. They only watch MSNBC. They don't ever think, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been lied to. I don't know. I don't understand. And it's not one of those, oh, well, you just haven't talked to enough people who disagree with you. Maybe, but that, I can't remember his name. He has a podcast called, he's from Iran. He's like a business guy. Well, anyway, I can't, Bet David or something like that. He has a podcast. It's pretty good. And he had some dude, some Democrat. He was in the white, I don't know, some big time Democrat, right? And he went off on this guy. I can't believe people like you like Trump and blah, blah, blah. And he had nothing. He had nothing. And, you know, sometimes off the cuff, it's hard to come up with stuff. But if you were this irate about it, and he said, you could have taken $1 million and invested it in the S&P ETF, and then you would have made more money over time than Trump in his business, meaning Trump sucks at business. There's a lot of businesses that don't make as money as the S&P 500, like 3M, GE, AT&T, you know, Procter & Gamble. All of those blue chips make slow money. That guy, I mean, that's their argument. And no one in the room was like, yeah, but that's kind of a stupid point because lots of things don't make as money as the S&P 500 index. Like, it's so stupid. And these people get away with it because they control, you know, you hear this all the time. They control the levers of power in our society and all this. Okay. Back to the speech. Sorry, I keep going off. So then he says, he keeps going with we're a threat to the Republic. Because why? He never said why. He said people who deny elections and people who, that's basically it. You think I was elected, I cheated, so you're a threat to the Republic. Oh, and on January 6th, which there were at least, you know, this guy, the people, people want to make the quote insurrection be a big deal. And then at the same time, they want to downplay it by saying there were only 50,000 people there. Have you seen the pictures? There was at least a few hundred thousand people in that crowd. It was enormous. And I make this point all the time. If they wanted to take over the Capitol, who was going to stop them? 100 police officers? Get out of here. Most of those people who went in were peaceful. Some of them were violent. Maybe, I don't know, a few hundred were violent. And then a few hundred just strolled around in there, chatting it up with the cops in there. Yeah, that's a real insurrection. And that clown, even in the Civil War, we didn't have the Confederate flag flying through the... Was it flying from, like, the top of the Capitol building? No, it was just some clown waving it around. Had he beaten the Union Army and staked it down in the Capitol? It's so stupid. These people are stupid. This is ridiculous what they're saying. My point is, if they wanted to do an insurrection, no one was going to stop them. They could have killed everyone in the building if they wanted. All they would have had to do was come there with handguns in their jackets. I don't want them to do that, of course, but if they wanted to, they could have, and no one was going to stop them. Maybe 10,000 National Guard, but Pelosi didn't want them there. I wonder why not. So basically, we want fair elections, just like Hillary, just like who's that obese woman from Georgia who won't talk about, who won't admit that she lost the election like 8 years ago or whatever it is now. So are they traitors? Is Hillary a traitor? She said before the election, this last one, never concede, Biden. Never concede. Take it in the courts forever. Would we have been legitimate in calling him a traitor? Not according to them. I don't think we would have. I want a fair election no matter who wins because I care more about the Constitution than my own party. I care more about the system than winning. But they don't. They don't because they don't care about the system. They don't, I guess, they don't care about democracy. And yet they accuse us of not caring about democracy. Right? That whole Sam Harris thing.
Oh, it's like an asteroid coming.
Okay, you guys are an asteroid then. Marxism is an asteroid. So we're allowed now to throw the election because we're scared of it, like you were scared of Trump? Come on, Sam Harris, you moron. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Go back to your science crap. You don't know politics, dude. Gosh. It's the whole point of having an election. So nobody gets to rig it behind the scenes. And he's like, well, the elites who know better than the rest of us, I'm okay with us rigging the election. It's basically, he said, I'm okay with us rigging the election. That's how scary Trump is. Scary to whom? I think I used whom, right? Never really know. If people were guilty of corruption and rigging the election and all this, would they act any differently than these people do? If someone hadn't committed crimes and they were actually the good party, wouldn't they say, hey, look, we're going to have an investigation, put all our cards up on the table. We want a functioning government. They're not acting like that. This is how the Bolsheviks acted when they were in power. Lie, lie, lie. Arrest all your enemies. Persecute all your enemies. And even before they got into power, it was criticize, criticize, criticize. Nothing is good enough. The only thing that's good enough is us being in power. Get rid of Kerensky. We don't want the provisional government to work. Rebel, rebel, rebel. Riot, riot, riot. This is a Marxist revolution, and now they're in power. And maybe not every single one of them, but you don't need every single one of them. You need a few radical crazies and then some people to go along with them. And yeah, Russia didn't have a tradition of representative government. It didn't have small republics all across the country. So we're not in that situation. But imagine if they arrest Trump at a rally. That crowd will not tolerate it. And then what will happen? And they know it. They know it. They're trying to provoke it. Like they probably did on January 6th. Like there's a video. Maybe the FBI has seized it. But there's a video of a ton of protesters, and they're kind of crammed up against the wall of the Capitol, and there's a window right there. It looked kind of like an octagon, I don't know, like an octagon window. And there's a guy there with a backpack, I think, and he just pulls out like a hammer and starts banging on the glass. And the guys around him are like, hey, what are you doing? Don't do that. They should have grabbed him and pulled him away. But they let him. They just started yelling at him. How much do you bet that guy was in the FBI? I want to know. Why can't I know? Why do we take their word for it? Like, they'll ask these FBI people, like, oh, please tell us what you were doing, if it was illegal or not. Please tell us if you caused January 6th. I have no information about that. I have no information about that. Well, if you were criminals, do we trust the word of criminals? Did you commit the crime? No. I don't know. Okay, it's good enough for me. No, we go find evidence. What is wrong? What is going on? Think if they did. Is it really that far out of the realm of possibility? A bunch of people who are dedicated to get rid of Trump, a bunch of people who are corrupt, a bunch of people who will do anything to stay in power. There's hundreds of billions of dollars at stake. All the power in the world, the most powerful city in the history of the world. And you don't think they're going to fight to keep control over it and do crazy things? Yeah, grow up. Of course they will. I mean, before 2020, I was pretty naive. I thought the country was not corrupt. It's really corrupt, and especially in the capital. You have that much power orbiting that city. Of course they're going to do anything they can. That's why the day after they called all those people insurrectionists, when they know that's not accurate. But they know that if they call them insurrectionists, then they can use the power of the government to go after them. Riots is just, I don't know, police stuff. But that's how Lincoln characterized the people in the South who seceded. Seceded, by the way, the exact same way that they got into the Union. And I know there's a debate over secession, whatever. But it wasn't an insurrection until Fort Sumter. Then, at least Lincoln had the argument to say it's an insurrection. January 6th was not an insurrection. It was a riot. And it did, okay, hold up the vote for 4 hours, whatever, maybe 9 hours, whatever it was. Come on. It is so obvious that they're just trying to stop Trump because he's not on board with them, because he can't be bought by them. Yeah, is he maybe a kind of a shady dude? Yeah, but he's a patriot as far as I can tell. I mean, think about it. What did he do while he was in office? The only the guy with the eye patch who's dead to me now, he's such a disappointment. But he was on an interview and he's like, what has he done? He's jailing media people. Who? Acosta, that clown who wrestled that girl for the microphone during that press conference trying to be a hero. And he's like, dude, he was suspended for like 3 days. He's already back in the White House press corps. Like, this is stupid. Hitler was rounding up his political enemies the very month that he took power, sending them to concentration camps. Did Trump do anything ever even close to that? No. No. It's so stupid. I have a podcast, Is Trump Like Hitler? I did it a while ago. It's quite long, but there's a lot of details in there that show, hey, there is zero comparison between the two. This is stupid. Trump is not an authoritarian dictator, not even close to it. So ridiculous. Which of his political enemies did he harass with the FBI? Which one? You tell me. None. And you say he's a threat to the Republic. He's a threat to your power. He's a threat to all of the things that you have been constructing the last 60 years. He's a threat to environmentalism. He's a threat to the Great Reset. He's a threat to all of this crazy stuff, as flawed as he is. That's what you're scared about, and you're corrupt, and you're criminals, and you're Bolsheviks, and that's why you're trying to hold on to power. This is so outrageous. And think about this. Think if they get away with this. Think if they arrest him and he's thrown in prison. Then what do we do? Will the people wake up then? Or will the moron say, well, he shouldn't have taken a few documents that belonged in the archives? Are you kidding me? So you're okay with the president of the United States arresting his main political rival? That's the end of the republic. That really is. And then I guess we'll just break up into a bunch of little republics or something, or turn into some Great Reset hellhole like China. Gosh, these people. Ben Franklin was interviewed around the time, interviewed in Parliament, around the time of the Stamp Act and all that hullabaloo. And they were asking him, why are the people in America so angry? And they said, eventually they said, what if we, something like, I haven't read it in a while, what if we send troops into America? He's like, you don't have a rebellion now, but you're going to create one. You might have one on your hands if you keep doing this. And that's the exact same thing now. The thing is, they want a small rebellion. Just like, think how much mileage they got out of January 6th. It undermined all the investigations. All they were going to do on January 6th was raise, object to each state and say, here's our evidence for fraud. We want their votes to be sent back and have the state reevaluate them. They didn't want to give the election to Trump. That's such a mischaracterization, and the Democrats and all those clowns know it. They know, and especially the crooks in the House, they know that's not what we wanted. Of course, we didn't want Pence to just hand it over to Trump. That would be insane. Now, I don't really know if I agree with Pence just unilaterally sending them back. But all we wanted was a peaceful expose of all the crazy stuff that went on. And that's what we were prepared to do. And Cruz and somebody else, I don't remember, objected to Arizona. And Cruz gave a speech and said, hey, let's have a commission. He didn't really talk about, he should have talked about election shenanigans, but I think he doesn't really believe in that, but he doesn't really want to say that because MAGA will get mad at him, which, whatever. And then all the other senators were going to say it too. And then, whatever, the senator from Oklahoma was talking, and somebody shows up and starts talking to him, and then he's gone. And it was like, whoa, what's going on? I was watching it live. And it's like, whoa, what's happening? There's a riot. Okay, crap, there's a riot. Think about how different it would have been if we had 24 hours of here's cheating, 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 affidavits, unfolded mail-in ballots, crazy stuff going on, Republican poll watchers being ejected because of COVID, the broken pipe BS so they could count votes when no one was there. So much shenanigans. Stopping all of the voting at the same time across multiple states. Of course it was corrupt. Of course they cheated. Come on. See, and that would have been thrown out to the American people. And probably the Congress would not have voted to send those votes back to the states. But what happened instead? A bunch of idiots went into the Capitol building and got arrested, and they labeled us all insurrectionists. Do you see the difference? So that's why they're trying to provoke it again. They're obviously trying to poke the bear. There's too many idiots out there who think it's Lexington and Concord all over again. Dude, without the French, we would never have won the Revolutionary War. And they were an ocean away. We can get to the moon sooner than we can get quicker than we could get across the Atlantic back then. We cannot win a revolution against the United States government. It would either fail or it would destroy the country. This is insane. People who were talking about it need to be shouted down and need to be convinced that it's stupid and insane. Yes, we have the Second Amendment. Big deal. They have the frickin' U.S. military. And at least a majority of them will stay loyal to the inaugurated president. Stop with the craziness. Elections are how we fix things in this country. And yes, I get it. If election after election is stolen, we will have to do something. But we're not there yet. And it won't even work. It would be just as stupid as the idiots who seceded in 1861 or late 1860, right after Lincoln got inaugurated. I'm going off topic. I'll show you in a second. They could have played ball with Lincoln. He was ready to play ball with them instead of waging this horrible war. But they were stupid and they didn't want it. He says at the end of his speech, hey, I'm for a constitutional amendment that says the federal government can't ban slavery in states. But the thing is, they knew eventually there'd be so many free states, they'd just amend that. They'd just amend that away. But it's just so stupid. This will never work. Everyone just needs to shut up about it. Okay, so let's get on with it. Sorry, I'm kind of ranting and raving here. Because think about it. People aren't thinking this through. Like, okay, you get all pissed and you take your AR-15s and you do what with them? Shoot the National Guard? Shoot federal troops? And then what? And then what are you going to do? No, that's insane. That's exactly what the Democrats want. They're praying for that. To whatever they pray to, Gaia, right? They want that. Don't play into their hands, you crazies. That's just, it's like, they won't be a poll watcher. They won't go knock doors at election time, but they're ready with their AR-15, baby. It's like, oh, ready for what? Come on. Okay, let's compare this to Lincoln's first inaugural. So it's 1861. A bunch of states have the Deep South at this point. So like Florida to Texas, all along there that border the ocean. They have all seceded. Their state legislatures seceded. They said in their secession documents, yeah, it's mostly because of slavery, because they won't let us take slavery into the Western territories. And we don't want to be in the Union anymore. We're out of here. And Lincoln and the existing president, Buchanan, he said, there is nothing in the federal constitution that gives me the power to compel states to stay in the Union. And he is correct. That's why Lincoln never admitted that the states seceded. He said, no, there's just rebels in those states that I'm fighting. Okay, across the entire southern portion of the country, and they formed armies, and there is no government inside of those states except a Confederate government. Like, I really think that whole argument is ridiculous. The South was in complete rebellion. Probably more complete than the colonies were in rebellion. They were probably more united against the North than the colonies were against Britain. I don't know but from some of the things I've read and the amount of people that they wielded in their army or they fielded in their army, that whole society was in rebellion. There's probably a few pockets. I know there were some pockets who said, dude, secession is nuts. We don't care. We don't want to do this. But once their country was at war, they went to war. And they were good at it. They were great at it for how many guys they had and the resources that they had. Probably the only country on earth that could have subdued them was the North. It's crazy. Anyway, how did I get onto that? So he starts by saying the southern states don't need to worry about the federal government endangering their property and their personal security. I think he's referring to a slave uprising because that was what they were always scared about. And that's not just racist. They're like, look at Haiti, right? I don't know how much before this, but a little before that, well, like 50 years before this, I think, the island of Haiti was like 90%. It was a slave colony, a French slave colony. And right after the French Revolution, they were like, hey, why are we still slaves? And so they rose up and basically killed all the French people on the island, all the white people on the island. The only successful slave uprising in the history of the world. They never work. And this one turned very brutal and very nasty, and it's not the best story. But that's what they were scared would happen in the American South. And why wouldn't it, right? If you could have told them 50 years before the Civil War, hey, dude, if you ban slavery now, it's all just going to end peacefully. They're not gonna rise up and kill all their slave masters. I wonder if the rational ones like Jefferson would have been like, well, then let's get rid of it right now. It's done. Because they wanted to do it gradually. They were worried about all this upheaval and maybe it would destroy the country. Because, yeah, 4 million or whatever it was before the Civil War, 3 million freed slaves going to war against their former slave masters. Yeah, that would have destroyed the country. Sorry, that would have been just the apocalypse. So it's pretty amazing that that didn't happen when they were freed. The fact that, I don't know, there might have been a few slave uprisings, but I don't know of any specific instances. That's crazy. Think about that. 4 million people who were considered property and treated like animals. And then with the snap of fingers, no more than that, but pretty quickly, they're free and they don't just go massacre all of the people who whip them and everything. Pretty amazing. So anyway, I don't mean to do a paragraph about each little line, but he says, Lincoln said he has no right or inclination to interfere with slavery in the States. That's not a quote, but that's basically what he said. At the beginning, it's not in this speech, but he said, I will preserve the Union with or without slavery. So that's why towards the end of the war, he banned it, because he's like, hey, if I ban slavery, it's going to help me end the war. And I get to ban slavery because slavery sucks. Remember, he didn't ban it, though. The 13th Amendment banned it. He says that the Republican Party, and he quotes the resolution that I assume the Republican Party, he didn't say the Republican Party, but I don't know what else it could be, but they had a resolution that said states have the right to order their own internal affairs and that they reject invasion by an armed force of any state for any reason. So they don't want a civil war. They don't want the federal government going into the South to force them to unsecede or whatever. They didn't believe in that. So that resolution says. He says he'll treat all the sections fairly. He defends the fugitive slave part of the Constitution. He goes in there, it's kind of complicated. It's not like ununderstandable language like Madison. Lincoln is very understandable. But that's basically all I wrote for that. He gives an interesting argument, and you're like, you can't help but read when you're reading Lincoln, be like, yeah, I see. Yeah, you're right. That makes sense. Even when sometimes the argument, when you think about it later, you're like, wait a second. What? Nah. He's such a good lawyer that you're like charmed by his argument. Like, you're like forced to agree with him. Oh yeah. All right. Yeah, you win. It's just, he's amazing. He says all governments are assumed to be perpetual by their very existence. You don't write into your plan for government the instrument of its own demise. Why would you do that? Governments are assumed to be perpetual, not disposable or for a temporary period. That's his argument anyway. He says the Union is older than the Constitution or even the Declaration, which he says there's some thing in 1774. I guess the First Continental Congress had some kind of articles. I don't know. It's not a real government, but they were associated, and so he terms that as a union. He says one state can't break up the union. It would have to be if they all agreed, all right, because they're all parties to the contract. But you can't just have one or two just break the contract. That can't work. You entered into a union. Now you're just going to break it? And he just asserts states can't secede. It's illegal. They can't do it. It's void. It's just not there. I don't acknowledge it. And he says any acts of violence against the authority of the United States government will be considered insurrectionary. So that's kind of a shot across the bow. He said he doesn't acknowledge secession and that the Union is unbroken. Remember, the first state, South Carolina, I think they seceded I don't know. Very quickly after Lincoln won, like a month later, they seceded from the Union. And so this is April of 1861. So this is 6 months. It's like 6 months old, the secession. And he's like, nope, the Union's still together as far as I'm concerned. He says, I'm not going to talk to the people who want to destroy the Union, but I want to speak to the people who love the Union. Oh, before that, sorry, he said, he will maintain government, U.S. government property and collect duties and imposts, I guess like tolls. And here's a quote, but beyond what may be necessary for these objects, there will be no invasion, no using of force against or among the people anywhere. Yeah, that wasn't what ended up happening, was it? And so he says, look, before you break up the country, figure out exactly why you're doing it and make sure that these reasons are real, that they're not just imaginary, these reasons that you're breaking up the union. He basically says, is the grass really going to be greener? That's kind of the argument. I wonder if they had that saying back then. I'm sure he wouldn't put it in the inaugural address, but he says that their rights, if their rights were being violated by the federal government, yeah, then they would have a right to rebel. But he says, where have your rights been violated? Right? By this point, nobody had tried to take anyone's slaves. Nobody had done anything. And do they have a right to spread slavery into the Western territories? Because that's the only thing that the Republican Party was going to do. It was a long way off before they were going to actually try to ban slavery. And then there would be like maybe some kind of legal argument. Well, you're going to take my slaves away without compensation. And they probably would have just paid them like some other countries did or whatever. Or banned it slowly like they did in the North. Or maybe pass a constitutional amendment that said we're going to have slavery in the South and write it right into the Constitution. What a crazy idea. But who knows? To keep the Union together, maybe they would have done that. I don't know. He says there's some things in the Constitution that are ambiguous. You can't write a law that gives a specific prescription for every instance. You can't think up every instance. And he says among those are if Congress can ban slavery in the territories. It's an open question. There's arguments. I think there's better arguments that it can. And he says if there are issues, if there's disputes over issues like this, one side just has to give in. That's how it works. And he said if one side doesn't eventually give in, then the government will cease. Somebody has to compromise at some point when there's an impasse. And then he says, so what if minorities just decide to secede instead of giving in? Instead of compromising, they just say, we're out. This sucks. Then they would set the precedent that every time anyone has a disagreement, they just leave. What kind of union is that? So they're kind of holding the majority hostage by using the tool of secession. Because anytime the majority tries to make the minority go along with something the minority doesn't want, which is going to happen a lot, they'll just leave. So what kind of union? You can't have a union like that. But then, I mean, we're at that point today where the argument is, well, the federal government doesn't have the right to do that. And people are like, yeah, it does. It can do anything it wants. Okay. And then he says, what's going to happen if you go off and form your own union? You're just going to keep seceding because there's going to be a majority there. And then one of the states is going to say, I don't like that. And then they're going to get out. He's like, this is a recipe for just chaos. This can't work. Unanimity, he says, is impossible. You'll never have it. You can't have a group of people who have their interests so well aligned that they'll never disagree. It's impossible. So at some point, you have to have compromises and people just kind of going along with some things, even though they don't want to. He says the only result of this is anarchy or despotism, because you'll have continual secessions, or you'll just have someone telling the minorities to shut up and take it. This is a great quote. One section of our country believes slavery is right and ought to be extended, while the other believes it is wrong and ought not to be extended. This is the only substantial dispute. Yeah. This is his lawyer coming out, his inner lawyer, right? What is the problem? Let's just get all this stuff. What is the problem? And that's the problem. The South wanted to expand slavery into the Western territories, and the Republicans said no. So the South said, screw you, we're out. So what is the problem now? The problem is they don't want Trump to get reelected. That's it. He talks about lots of complications that will happen if the Union divides. And then he talks about amendments. And notice he's not running around screaming about like Biden was. He's not screaming about anything. He's trying to logically appeal to people's brains, not their emotions. He's not being a demagogue. He did say the people who want to, the most combative thing he said was, I'm not going to talk to the people who want to destroy the union. And he said, if there's violence against the government, that will be considered insurrectionary. That's it. The rest of the speech is conciliatory. And not just to the good Southerners or the good Republicans, like Biden said to us. He's actually trying to avoid a conflict. I think Biden and the Democrats are trying to stoke one. They want one. So when you look at it through that lens, oh, they want a conflict because they're in power. He said he would support an amendment to the Constitution that says that the federal government can't force states to ban slavery. He said he would be in favor of that amendment. He said because that was his position then. He said, I don't think the federal government has that power. Now, I don't know how he reconciles that with the fact that the Republican Party was going to ban slavery. Maybe they were going to ban slavery in the Western territories, and then there wouldn't be any pro-slavery people there to create slave states. I don't know if they were going to ban new slave states necessarily. Because if you have a divided Congress and they don't want to admit a state that's a slave state or a free state, that would have been the same. Right? I mean, that wouldn't... Anyway, I don't know how that was all going to work out, but... This is interesting. He said he gets his authority from the people and they haven't given him the power to decide how the states should separate. His duty is to preserve the union. So he's like, it's not within my constitutional powers to oversee a separation of the states. I have an oath to preserve the union. And the people gave me that duty. He says, what's the rush? You still have the Constitution. You have the right to run your states the way you want. And Lincoln didn't have the power to change either of those things. All he had the power to do was administer federal lands. That's it. And put down insurrections. So he's foreseeing, it sounds to me, like, hey, let's not fight. And I'll preserve federal lands and try to deliver the mail. But he also says in there, if you don't let the mail be delivered, I'm not going to persist. He wasn't willing to fight over delivering the mail. So if they had just let him resupply Fort Sumter, we might not have had a civil war. But how long would it have been before we banned slavery? But that's my question. I asked this in a previous podcast. If you could have said, if you give someone the option, have the Civil War, have it happen just how it happened, or wait 30 years, write into the Constitution, we're going to wait 30 years and then ban slavery in 30 years and we're not going to have a Civil War. Which one's better? Or 20 years? I don't know. I don't know which one's better. But it sounds like what he wanted was, hey, just cool it. I know you think you seceded. I'm not going to invade. Let's just figure out a way out of this mess. And he says, I will support a constitutional amendment that says that the federal government can't ban slavery in states. And so that would have lasted a long time, because think how long it would have taken for those Western states to get the kind of 2/3 that they need in order to amend that out of the Constitution. That would have taken, who knows how long that would have taken? A long time, at least. So that's kind of what he envisioned. And that might have been, I don't know if that would have been better, because we banned slavery 4 years later, but was that worth sacrificing 500,000 men to do? I don't know how you answer that question. The biggest point is he's not vilify. I mean, compare these two speeches. The speech was stupid. And, you know, that's not a big surprise. Biden's stupid. The Democrats that are in the White House, they're dumb. They're incompetent. They're brainwashed. They're ideologues. This guy was very pragmatic, and he's actually trying to govern. He didn't want a revolution. Now we have revolutionaries in the White House. Think about it. They didn't tell us that we were going to go through this transition that they're always talking about. What transition? We didn't elect you to transform the country. We didn't elect you to ban or force people to not drive gas-powered automobiles because the prices are too high. We didn't sign up for this transition. And you keep talking about this transition like we're all on board. You're Bolsheviks trying to force this revolution on us. This is not Lincoln. Now, once the war gets going, and the guy, I can't remember his name, the guy who wrote Battle Cry of Freedom, I haven't read the whole thing, but I read parts of it, and he said the very revolution that the South was trying to prevent, they provoked by seceding. Within 4 years, slavery was banned everywhere in the Union. A lot of the things that that they didn't want to happen happened because of their rash action of seceding. So Lincoln turns into basically a revolutionary because he's kind of forced to by the war. And then once they assassinate him, well, then the radical Republicans take the gloves off. But my point is, these two speeches could not be more different. Go read them. One is a ranting, raving, revolutionary lunatic talking about patriotism and whatever, but just vilifying half the country. And the other one is a very circumspect, reasoned statesman trying to preserve his country without violence and coming up with reasoned arguments to convince the other side that they're wrong. And ways to reconcile. What ways was Biden trying to reconcile in that ridiculous speech that he gave? He's just trying to win an election. It's this disgusting career politician. A filthy, corrupt, stupid, evil man trying to win an election. By scaring average people like you and me into... You know, I called my senators and representative. And I'm kind of scared to say that I'm MAGA. I don't know how MAGA I am, but I don't know. Think about that. Think about the chilling effect that that has on people. This is not okay. This is evil. This is anti-American.
Well, America sucks. It always had... Racism,
oh, shut up. You know what I mean by anti-racism. You know what I mean by anti-American. It's against our ideals. The most powerful man on earth vilifying voters in his own country. The people who are his boss. He has forgotten that we're in charge, not him. We are the sovereigns, not him. Thank you for listening.